A Brief History of the Holy Roman Empire, The Albigensian Crusade, Part 2. While Raymond Roger retreated to Carcassonne, while the citizens of Béziers prepared to defend themselves against the Crusaders, they believed that if they could hold out long enough, Raymond Roger would return with help. The people of Béziers, however, were not soldiers and soon began to panic. Men abandoned their posts and soldiers began to pour into the city. Many of the people, particularly women and children, crowded into the churches for safety, but the laws of sanctuary and human decency were forgotten. The papal legate had himself given permission to spare no one, and no one was spared. Arnaud Armory wrote gleefully back to Innocent III, quote, "Neither age nor sex nor status had been spared," end of quote. All the people in the churches, women and children included, were butchered and the city put to flames. Within a day, the entire city was burned to the ground and no one survived. No prisoners were taken. No mercy was shown. Even the Catholics within the city were looked upon as traitors for harboring heretics. And Arnaud Armory was pleased. The news of the destruction spread quickly. Between Béziers and Carcassonne, villages and towns became ghost towns as the people either fled to the forest or retreated to Carcassonne, where they believed Raymond Roger could protect them. The army reached Carcassonne on July the 28th, 1209. While the terror had caused the small city peasants to flee, it had reinforced the will of the people of Carcassonne to fight. They saw what had happened to Béziers, and they knew the fate that awaited them if they failed. For over a week, they boldly defended their city and kept the Crusaders at bay when Peter II, also called Pedro, of King of Aragon, arrived at the Crusaders' camp. Peter II was the brother-in-law of Raymond VI, and his land lay at the border of Carcassonne. Peter's motives have been hotly debated for many years. He was a devout man, but did not seem able to abide the Crusaders. He had befriended Raymond VI, and doubtless knew that Raymond was not entirely a willing participant in the Crusade. He may have feared that an enemy of Aragon might seize control of Carcassonne, or it might have been a more devout purpose. But for whatever reason, Peter II was prepared to negotiate a surrender. Again, Arnaud Armory refused. He wanted blood. He was still unprepared to forgive. He was, however, talked into allowing Raymond Roger to leave with a few friends before the city was taken. To his credit, Raymond Roger refused. He stayed with his people to the end. After another week of fighting, the Crusaders had still made little headway, and they were concerned that the people were indeed prepared to fight to the last man. They had remembered the promise of booty, but they also remembered they had received no booty from Béziers, as it had burned to the ground. Arnaud Armory was forced to make a legitimate effort to compel their surrender so the city would be taken with booty intact. The people and Raymond Rogers were promised their lives that they would leave the city carrying nothing but the clothes on their backs. The people agreed, but Raymond Roger was arrested anyway and taken to a dungeon where he died a few months later of dysentery. The Crusaders then plundered Carcassonne. Simon de Montfort was named the new Viscount, but his task was far from easy. Many of the Crusaders had already claimed to have received their indulgences and thus saved their souls. They, therefore, did not desire to stay on, but to return home. Raymond VI went back to Toulouse under probation. Simon was the new Viscount, and Peter II was officially the suzerain thereof. Nonetheless, the Crusade was far from over. In fact, it would continue for 30 years with some of the more ironic twists known to history. Pierre Roger, who had defended Carcassonne, established a new base, Minerva. Many other dissidents and sympathizing nobles took up castles and estates throughout the land. From Minerva, Peter Roger conducted raids on Simon's lands and officials. Major cities, including Toulouse, took in the fleeing dissidents, but escaped the first wave of the Crusade. Moreover, Arnaud Armory had not ceased looking for blood. Simon obliged him by executing alleged heretics, usually without a trial, but he had asked what to do with those heretics who wanted to repent and rejoin the church. Arnaud Armory answered that they should be burned. Simon was brutal and savage, which did not endear him to his new subjects. In one case, he had the eyes put out of an entire garrison which had helped Pierre Roger. Even more division was caused by Peter II's failure to approve of his new vassal lord. Raymond VI had quite different problems. No sooner had he returned home than he found Arnaud Armory making new demands. Not weeks later, he was again accusing Raymond of supporting heretics and ordered him to dismiss all accused heretics and Jews from his service. Further, he ordered the citizens of Toulouse to surrender everyone he had on a list. The citizens replied that those accused had openly professed to accept the Catholic Church, so they refused to turn over the prisoners. Arnold Amery then excommunicated Raymond VI again and placed an interdict upon Toulouse without consulting the Pope. He professed to speak for Innocent, even as Innocent professed to speak for God, without bothering to ask first. In June 1210, Simon attacked the stronghold of the resistance at Minerva. Using the new siege engine called the Trebuchet, a huge catapult-like machine that could throw giant boulders as far as 600 feet or more, Simon was eventually able to beat down the walls and the morale of the defenders. After 6 weeks of bombardment, the people of Minerva agreed to surrender on the condition that all who repented and professed the Catholic faith as the only true church would be spared. Uncharacteristically, Arnold Amery agreed, but when questioned by his aides, he assured them that few of the heretics would meet these conditions. He was correct. The Cathari leaders were prepared to accept martyrdom with the same spirit as the early Christians had against Nero. Over 140 were burned at the stake after refusing to accept the Pope as their sovereign. They declared the Church of Rome was an apostate, and they would never deny their faith. The seeds of the Reformation were already being planted. In the meantime, Raymond VI had appealed over Arnold Amery's head directly to the Pope. Innocent again lifted the excommunication, saying that Arnold Amery had not given Raymond sufficient time to fulfill his promises, but the Pope refused to remove Arnold Amery as legate. Instead, he sent another legate to work with Arnold Amery. This merely angered Arnold Amery and made him hate Raymond even more. Now Arnold Amery decided to set the stakes even higher. After diplomatically promising that Raymond would be fully restored to the church, Peter II agreed to accept Simon as his vassal. But no sooner had Peter made his concession than Arnold Amery demanded that Raymond destroy all of his castles, remove all the Jews and heretics from his service, and numerous frivolous orders were laid down as well. They were to be but two portions of meat to be served on any given day, and even the count's clothes were subject to approval by Arnold Amery. But the greatest demand of all was that Raymond retire to Palestine and offer his services to the Templar Knights. The demands were probably calculated to drive Raymond against the church, and they succeeded. The result was civil war. The church maintained that it was continuing to stamp out heresy, but in reality the region of Languedoc surrounding Toulouse was fighting for its life and its freedom. Even many loyal Catholics turned to support Raymond, having been angered over the extreme demands placed on him by the papal legate, and having seen the atrocities of Simon de Montfort. The new hostilities began in February 1211, when Raymond was again excommunicated for the third time, and Toulouse was again, for the third time, placed under interdict. The civil war erupted, the loyalties changed rapidly. Even Raymond's brother betrayed the cause, but many more defections came from Simon's camp. In June, Simon attempted to lay siege to Toulouse itself, where the majority, including Raymond's army, resided. But the siege was a dismal failure. Simon retreated, resorting to burning small villages and towns, as well as burning alleged heretics alive, quote, with joy in our hearts, end of quote. But Raymond's army harassed Simon's to no end. In 1212, two things occurred which further damaged Simon's fortune. The Muslim Moors had invaded Spain, and a crusade was proclaimed there. Soldiers were more eager to fight in Spain than against Christians in France. Second, the Children's Crusade, of which more will be said later, had met with a humiliating disaster, further hampering new recruits to Simon's cause. By the end of the year, however, Simon's fortunes had changed. Using brutality and fear, he was able to get the upper hand on Raymond's supporters. He instigated rigorous new rules which ensured that all property and castles would be owned or managed by northerners with no loyalty to the south or to Raymond. Laws were even made that required certain noblewomen to marry men approved by Simon. By December 1212, all but two regions of Languedoc had been subjected. It was at this time that history brought a strange twist of fate. After Christmas of that year, Peter II of Aragon again appeared in an attempt to forge yet another truce. He had earlier tried to negotiate for the surrender of Carcassonne, but met with failure as the petty ambitions of the papal legates intervened. This time, it was the petty ambitions of both the legates and Simon de Montfort. He was clearly invading lands for territory. The war against heretics was an excuse. Peter II wanted to put an end to the war that threatened his own territory and have his brother-in-law reinstated to the church. But he found the same unreasonable demands that Raymond had encountered. Peter II, therefore, defected to Raymond's cause. He had sent ambassadors to appeal to the Pope, but by September, Innocent had called Peter II a liar, a traitor, and a protector of heretics. In September of 1213, Peter and Raymond VI besieged Marat, where Simon was held up. Peter's army drastically outnumbered Simon's, so much so that Peter's pride led to his downfall. He valiantly dressed in regular army clothes and fought on the front lines, but because he outnumbered Simon's troops, he didn't bother to wait for reinforcements or even to make use of his massive infantry. The result was a rout for Simon de Montfort. Peter himself fell in battle and, dressed in regular armor, received no mercy. So it was that Peter II, who had deeded Aragon to the Pope as a fief in 1204, now died a martyr to the cause against the oppression of the papacy. The crusade was far from over, but the tides had turned in favor of Simon, and Raymond again retreated to Toulouse. The blood of tens of thousands of Christians had been spilled in the attempt to suppress dissidents who themselves had been created by the oppression and the apostasy of the Catholic Church. But much more blood was yet to be spilled. One of the situations that you have is that Simon de Montfort does meet his end. He is killed by a catapult that is manned by a group of women besieging another town. So, as you can see, this Albigensian crusade is just horrific. Just looking for more blood, and more blood. So Innocent III has a lot on his hands. Now next time we're going to shift and go back over to England, because they're going to have an issue with Innocent III, and this will lead us to a little thing called the Magna Carta. Now the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.